We's live. We's recording.
Button. Who's got the button? It's over there. Oh, wonderful. That's from a little movie called Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Remember that film with Gene Wilder?
I do. Why do you bring it up?
Every time I hear button, who's got the button? That's in the movie. He says, it's over there. Charlie goes, it's over there.
Who said button?
Willy Wonka.
I mean, right now, who brought that up? You just said it randomly.
No, you said pushing the button or whatever.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, don't question me.
Before we start recording. I don't remember saying that. That's why I was confused.
Oh, that's all right. That's fine.
All right. Let's do a theme song, shall we?
There's a method to my insanity.
We're doing 85. We don't have an intro. Wordplay. What's a
banana hut in the concert truck? Violet blue, lip knit de douche new. Fucking this.
You're traveling to another dimension.
When I die, I want to be high. Never worry, just bury me along with my currency.
You're entering the twilight zone.
Hey, yo. Okay, run it. Roll it again.
You're entering LIW, the twilight zone. Review.
Hello, citizens. There's no intro for this episode, so...
Roll it again. Roll it again.
When I die, I want to be high. Never
yeah,
worry.
Like that.
Just
that's very... cold.
It wasn't
that's
done.
Cold. That's cold.
Stop talking over it. I'm trying to record this sick Sorry. Track. Oh, man. The fucking... There's, we don't have an 85 episode. There's no episodes worthy of introing.
No,
this
really,
one could be
really.
Fun, though.
This one pissed me off on a whole new level of being pissed off.
Well, it's welcome to Ear of the Beholder, LAW the Twilight Zone Review, episode 463 for TZ85-102A, Wordplay, Phoenix West.
Dick.
You know, square button and round and cinnamon afro monkey and, you know, petty salamander biscuit sandwich.
Dinosaur!
Did you say dinosaur?
Salad book apopolis? Dick cheese.
They might have the youth, but we have the mayonnaise.
Yeah. This was an episode directed by our favorite Wes Craven.
Wesley Craven,
rest in power.
No.
Yes, away for a while.
No, he doesn't need the rest in power. He doesn't need power when dead.
He just needs to rest and never come back.
Far too much power in life.
That he did. What did Wes Craven do? Like, he didn't do a lot. Well, what he did do wasn't worth it.
Yep.
So, honestly, probably a good thing that we didn't get more Wes Craven, because we would have just got more mediocrity. Because that's what we got.
Yeah. He was always kind of like the shittier John Carpenter.
I feel like he gets more credit than John Carpenter.
He does, from the general audience. And they both market themselves the same. They both put their names before the name of the movie.
Master of Horror, John Carpenter. Master of Horror, Wes Craven.
Yep.
Master of Horror, Stephen King.
The problem is John Carpenter never made those movies directed at teenagers. That was where he went wrong.
Yes.
But Wes Craven did.
Maybe he thought Village of the Damned was about the teenage audience, and it didn't quite work out for him.
They love Superman. They'll watch
well,
this.
If I put Superman and Luke Skywalker and Savick from Star Trek II in a movie, that means I got him.
Nearly 20 years after Superman's over.
Oops.
Yeah.
About two
weeks
prior.
But it's got Kirstie Alley.
2 weeks prior to the being horribly spinal destruction from a horse fall.
Yeah.
Literally months later, he was quadriplegic, which is really sad.
Was it?
Very sad.
Was it?
I think it was shortly thereafter.
No, I mean sad. Was it sad?
Oh. It was sad. I'll give you that much.
It was the most famous thing he did.
You'll believe a man can't walk.
Yeah.
Oh, too soon.
I was always fascinated with that story simply because of that him and that Joe Mantegna movie they did where... He pretends to be in a wheelchair.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And then Joe Mantegna stabs him in the leg, and he doesn't flinch.
Yeah.
He's like, "No, no!" He gets dragged away. And so when he became paralyzed, I was like, "No, he's not." That's I've seen this before.
Life.
Yeah, it was crazy.
This doesn't make any sense. So does that mean Tim Daly is going to be buried alive and get out and kill Jennifer Jason Leigh?
Yes.
With the guy from Ghostbusters?
Yes.
Buried Alive reference. Go see it on Hollywood is Dead.
Oh, man. What a good movie.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
Unlike this episode of 1985 TZ.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess you're starting to say that you were pissed off by this one.
Not pissed. It's just I was like, oh, this is dumb. Yeah. The guy, because basically it's Robert Klein, who's actually a world-renowned comedian, by the way.
He's really good in this episode, actually.
He's a good actor because he's been in other stuff. He's always been good in stuff. But I'm kind of disappointed because Robert Klein is actually a pretty good, like, I guess that's the joke, because he lives in a world where the language is basically falling apart. He doesn't understand the world anymore because the vernacular of the world changes overnight. Like, literally overnight it changes, and he can't understand why. It's just an odd... I don't understand the crux of the story and why that would be a story idea for a short like this.
I watched this right after we stopped recording last time we did a show.
Oh, wow.
Like, I told you I was going to watch this, and I put it on. That's why I had to rewatch Satisfaction Guaranteed. I actually watched both of them again today. Just as a refresher. And I was doing something else, and they're kind of on. But I was, like, so fucking annoyed by wordplay.
Yeah.
And I, you know, eating, and I watched the episodes, and I went out to meet my sushi, and I'm like, what the fuck was that? And I was, like, stewing in it for some reason. Then, you know, I woke up and I didn't care. And
Tempura then, makes me happy. Why doesn't I make you happy tonight?
Yeah. And then I watched it today, and I was like, I kind of like this. I kind of liked it the second time. Only because I wasn't pissed. I knew what to expect.
Right.
And I know it wasn't going to go anywhere.
I wouldn't say I was pissed.
I was.
Just say it's okay. It's just eh. Like if that's gonna be the twist of the episode, and at the end of the story, he's beginning to relearn how to speak.
Yeah, with his child's book.
Because his son is sick, and they have to take him to the hospital, and he's dealing with that, and he can't talk because he can't talk in that world because the wife can for some reason. He's
wife,
not able to talk to this world anymore.
Janine.
Annie Potts.
Yes.
We got one!
Yeah. I wish she had the attitude she did in Ghostbusters in this. That would have been fun.
Exactly. And she should have just started saying
what
lines
do you
from
want?
Ghostbusters. Because it would have made sense, because it would have been words that don't make sense in the show.
Yeah. She had a
Ghostbusters!
Perfect chance. She had a perfect chance to use her catchphrase of, Ghostbusters, what do you want?
We want. I've quit better jobs than this.
Yeah. I love when Egon comes up from under her.
Yeah. I collect spores and funguses. Did you see the new one?
No, not yet. We're going next week.
Wow, you're it's gonna be out of theaters by the time you go see
it. No,
it
won't.
There it's bombing. It's not gonna be in theaters for very much longer. They're just gonna
it'll
dump
be there
on
one
streaming.
More week.
They're just gonna dump it on streaming in 2 weeks.
If that's what happens, that's what happens. I didn't see the last one in theaters either.
Yeah, it's fine.
I already missed the wave of being able to get stuff at AMC, like the bucket, but
like I said, this movie didn't do so well, so I'm sure they got lots of it left over. You could probably find it for cheap now.
No, nobody went and saw the movie, but fanboys definitely
they
bought this
stuff. They bought the bucket, yeah.
While their families went and saw fucking Kung Fu Panda 20.
Can we have two for Kung Fu Panda, one for Dune, and can I have the Ghostbuster bucket?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what happened. Do you want the Dune worm fuck bucket? yes. Put that on the side. Hey, we got 15 people watching us right now.
Uh-huh. People, huh? Very
people.
Generous.
Real people.
You just gave them robo-erections right there. Ooh. They called us people.
You must accept us as your authority. Max Headroom. Watch your show. Love your show. Thank you, Matt Fuhrer.
Let me play.
Uh-oh, you almost had that the sounds of the dead on your program here. Wow. Oh, smoke a J and watch some Twilight Zone, man. Write a song.
Here's the first sign something's wrong.
You said encyclopedia.
No. Yeah. I know, that's quite a few for a small dog like an encyclopedia. But Ginger came through like a champ.
You said encyclopedia.
Yeah.
Ginger is an encyclopedia?
Last time I looked, she was. Well, you knew that, Bill. Come on, give me a break, will you?
I thought you were talking about her shits.
I think it was a dog breed, but yeah.
The dog, oh man, last night left an encyclopedia on the floor. It was huge.
Oh, here's the mayonnaise one.
Yeah.
I do like, part of the reason I liked it more the second time is because I had the headphones on and I had it cranked up. And I realized there's always people talking in the background.
Right, and it's slowly
hitting. And you hear it.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I appreciated the episode more. And then like when they're in the airport later, or no, sorry, the hospital.
Right,
you can hear the nurses over the PA system just talking their nonsense, and it was kind of fun to listen to.
Yeah, it's all gibberish. Yeah, yeah, I noticed. Yeah, yeah, just it's fun. You know, I don't know. It could have been better, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
No, it's not good. I'll give it a 6 because the second time I watched it, but
right,
first time I gave it 4.
Yeah.
But I watched it, and I appreciate the Robert Klein and Annie Potts.
Yeah.
That's an interesting couple I never thought I'd see together.
It's true.
I wouldn't even think to put them together, honestly.
Wes, who do you want for the stars of this episode? Robert Klein and Annie Potts. Wow!
And you got Robert Downey Sr. is in this episode as well.
Is he?
Yeah, according to this.
Is it? Oh, wow.
The only time can give you mayonnaise.
Yes, I mean.
Mayonnaise. Yeah, this is part A of part B is Dreams for Sale, part C is Chameleon.
And oh, Chameleon, isn't that the one with the alien?
I believe so. Dreams for Sale was a woman finds that her idyllic picnic may not be what it seems.
Yes, sir, that's the one where she's in the dream on the space station. I remember that one.
I do not.
It was the one with Meg Foster.
Yeah, I remember Meg Foster, but
it's that episode.
You have a memory for this show. I do not. They are
good. Unfortunately, I have a memory for this and like anything important. Fuck it.
Yeah. Oh, here's the guy asking for advice for Dinosaur.
Yes.
First girl out for Dinosaur, huh?
That's right.
Dinosaur?
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. You're saying Dinosaur?
Yeah. I'll see you guys down there. Okay.
What is this, some sort of new wave expression?
I want to see this done with the real words and just see how stupid it looks. Lunch?
Right.
You're talking.
Yeah.
You're saying lunch? Yeah. You're going to take the woman out for lunch and just see how tedious it is.
Well, that is odd because you don't take a woman out to lunch to dinner or breakfast. You don't take her out
to lunch.
It's
weird no matter what, but.
He's right.
Yeah.
How are you gonna fuck her during Dinosaur?
Yeah, the sun's still up during Dinosaur.
You can't fuck her. You can't take her back to your place and bang the shit out of her because the sun's still out.
Look, bang the shit out of her in front of her Wednesday, and I think the Wednesday is an encyclopedia breed. I'm learning the language already.
I think Wednesday was pink, wasn't it?
No, Wednesday was the dog. That's when he's in the book at the end.
Oh, was it the dog? Okay.
The book was lunch. Sorry, the color was
lunch. That's
what he goes, what does lunch mean to you? It's a color.
It's a color. What do you want?
It's right here.
Lunch. Lunch.
What has lunch got to do with
What has lunch got to do with anything?
What has lunch got to do with any? All right. Okay.
I'll say this. For what he's been given, Robert Klein does a really good job in this episode.
Oh, yeah. No, it's interesting. It's just, I think the problem is maybe it's too short. Need to be a little bit longer to kind of hang. Because it kind of just happens. All this stuff happens instantly. And you're like, well, I don't even know who this guy is. Yeah. So why is it happening to this guy? Like, I understand he's like, he's a salesman. He's trying to sell like this new product that he can't understand because the words. It's like techno babble that he doesn't understand.
Yeah, it's
so that makes all the other language techno babble language that he can't figure it out.
It's all just the snowball effect from what's happening, and this happens a lot in '80s stuff where they get obsessed with, especially this show, like the credit card one. This kind of new ideas, and this one's all the new technologies coming out in the '80s, and the old people probably feel like they're being phased out, and so they're kind of just snowballed from there. I do like the fact that Annie Potts hung up a cast iron mold of her butthole on the wall, though.
right there in the back.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
My muff.
What does lunch mean?
Bill, you know what lunch means.
What does it mean? Tell me!
It's a color. You know, sort of reddish, a light red.
He looks like she looks like she's gonna hit. He's gonna hit her again,
as he should. What's lunch? It's a beating. It doesn't mean beating. Because guess what? You're getting your beating again.
Do you get a bumblebee eye or a cinnamon eye? Whatever nonsense eye. It's black eye, bitch.
You think I'm gonna give you a black eye, you fucking cunt?
And this is the scene where he comes in and molests his son. And then
he's burning up.
I do like when he gets at his office and the switch happens where it's just complete nonsense now.
Yeah, that is completely done, yeah.
And he gets handed his paperwork in a little manila envelope and it shows his name is like Hilch Butterfly or something stupid. His first name is Hilch, though, I think. Oh, sorry. He talks to the thing about taking a call first.
Sure, Mr. Thunder. Timid Waffle.
Is that Mia Sarah?
No, Timid Waffle, Dick.
Timid Waffle.
Here's the manila envelope. What is she wearing? Vertical stripes and horizontal stripes.
I remember that outfit. Those were the good old days.
Mind you, Capital.
Hinge Thunder. Buck Construction Holster. Salesman. Salesman's the same, though.
Hinge Thunder. Yeah. Minge. Is it Hinge or Minge?
Hinge with an H.
Hinge. Hinge Thunder could be actually a pretty decent name.
I do like when...
This is Hinge Thunder coming at you.
So this is the scene I liked the second time around a lot because I was picturing myself in this scenario when he picks up the phone and just like hears nonsense and he's like, yep.
I'm done.
Like, my life's over. I literally can't do anything now.
I'm going to put a bull in my face.
It's not just not understanding the language. You know how much harder it would be to relearn if the words just swap around?
Yeah.
It's going to be so awful. Much harder. You'd rather just start from, I'm going to move to France and learn French because this is, I can't do this.
Oh my God.
You can't even, oh man, fuck this. I'm moving my family at this point.
Yeah, but your family talks that way.
Yeah, we're going to learn a new language all together.
They already know the language. Butterfly toxic cheesecake.
Range, big torch to zoom this carload whistle. Juice Metro Panther call, Blade. Inch.
What is this woman screaming in the background?
Yeah, what is that? I just saw that. I just noticed that. That's scary as shit.
It's the third time going through. I didn't see that till now.
Is that one of Wes Craven's personal paintings that he's put in the background?
It's a night gallery painting. Yeah, you even got like a cleavage in there.
That's kind of creepy.
You don't hang cleavage up in an office.
It's my art. It's about the women's movement in the 1960s. Because I'm super smart and Wes Craven.
That Ben Collins would but can.
Done it.
Moon tight! Moon tight!
I want to put that over music and make an intro out of it.
Moon tight!
Moon tight! Moon tight!
Boondoggle! Moon tight!
Mr. Hinge? Yeah. Not a good episode, really. I don't know. What do you give it?
I give probably a 5.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I'm not trying to say that the performances are bad. I just say it's the concept itself. I think I need just more time with it to gestate because it kind of just happens in an instant and like everything goes to hell in a handbasket so fast that I just don't know why.
Yeah, this is Wednesday.
Wow.
Yeah, I always say I like if it's good and doesn't explain what's going on. In a Twilight Zone episode though, I don't know, I kind of want a little explanation.
Well, on top of that, because at first it was like progressively getting worse, as in one or two words out of five were bad, and then all of a sudden all of them become they all become gibberish. So it's like, okay, fine, it's all gibberish, but does that mean it's going to continue to be gibberish, like even more gibberish as time goes on? Because how much worse could it get?
Yeah.
It's already pretty fucking bad.
It could get real bad. It could just, like, as soon as he learns this, it could just switch again.
So. Well, that's what I mean. It's like, and then it goes back to normal. He's like, what the fuck? No, you meant to say una taco.
Yeah.
That means frustration.
Which to us means anus. Which
Choco,
to us
taco,
means...
Choco is anus.
It keeps translating back.
Son of a bitch!
This is annoying. Again, that's why it would be so much worse to relearn the language with everything just moved around than from scratch.
Taco Bell? What is that? Taco Bell. It means oral exam or your anal exam. Oh, fuck me.
At least that one's easy to remember. Taco Bell anus.
That makes sense.
It
makes sense.
I can associate that.
I can shit out my mouth. That's fine.
I would create a legend, which each word I know compared to the new one, and then give it to my wife and be like, I'm not learning, you learn.
Right.
Like, fuck this.
Fuck you.
Have fun
you
making
learn.
Money outside the home. I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
For our unexplainably sick child.
I want you to sell your body to make money for the family now, woman. That's your job.
You got to wear the Janine wig.
What do you want?
Man, I just, but why would the B story of his child being violently ill having to go to the hospital?
Well, that's why.
Does he still appreciates?
I feel like that's the only human part of this episode that makes sense, is he has to learn for his son, because his son, you know, almost lost his son, so now he's like, oh, shit, I need to learn this language just to live and protect him, blah, blah, blah.
I guess, yeah. I don't.
Gives it that familiar connection.
And I thought it was kind of like my child's dead, but that's, or my child's alive, but I'm so grateful I don't even care about this language thing anymore.
Yeah.
I learned to appreciate the good things. All right, blah, blah, blah. All right, let's hear the outro and get out of here. 1729.
A question trembles in the silence. Why did this remarkable thing happen to this perfectly ordinary man?
Wednesday.
Touch the puppy. Feel the puppy.
Wednesday.
It may not matter why the world shifted so drastically for him. Existence is slippery at the best of times. What does matter is that Bill Lowry isn't ordinary. He's one of us, a man determined to prevail in the world that was, in the world that is, or the world that will be, in the Twilight Zone.
That doesn't make any fucking sense. That's fine.
Quesadilla blue.
Quesadilla blue velvet. Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Aquatape Keyboard Salamander. Phoenix West.
De-bop-bop-a-doop-bop-boop-bop.
Green Filing Cabinet Sinister.
You're way better at that than me. Review Preview. That has to make sense to me. I can't do non-secondary language.